Welcome to Dithering on the Edge of Europe, the podcast about what it feels like to be European and live in the UK. Understanding Europe and our position in it, one document at a time. I'm Carola Böhm, European, German wife and mother, academic and living here in the UK. And with me is my favourite person.
Richard McCarthy.
You're laughing at that.
Husband, father, ex-teacher and future fence builder.
Oh, dear.
Separate us from horses, not from other nations in Europe or anything like that.
Right, that's it. It's going to be a friendly fence.
Well, ours will be. The farmers isn't. The farmers have got barbed wire all over it, so that's why we need our friendly fence on our side.
Oh, yeah, but we're going to talk about boundaries today, aren't we? So we thought we'd look at a document from the European Commission. It's a Eurobarometer number 89, which was published actually last year, March 2018. But it specifically looked at European citizenship. And we thought we were going to take some key elements. So each one of us have 2 points there, which have tickled our fancy to discuss in relation to what it means to our lived reality. It's like a pulse, taking the pulse of the nation. We as the nation in this context as the European Union. So we each have 2 points. Do you want to say your 2 points first?
Okay. Well, I had 3 points, if you remember. Okay. So mine are the euro values. What are, do we have shared euro values and what are they? Our attitude to whether immigrants have been useful to the country and our attitudes to whether we should help refugees.
Oh, right. Okay. That's nice. And my points were, the first one is that we chat about how attached we as EU citizens feel to our cities and regions versus to our country. And again, that in comparison to how attached we feel to the EU or to Europe in general. So it's an interesting barometer to look at how different countries in the European Union feel attached to which, you know, regions and scale. Are you falling asleep there?
Yeah, go on.
Again, it's more exciting than I make it out to be.
Than it sounds.
So I'm relying on you to make it a bit more exciting. The second point is our belief in European achievements. And I should say, we do have tea here, so you will hear some tea noises.
Because she's lying. We don't have any tea. We've got coffee.
Okay, so we've got coffee. No, but it's already...
Because it's well into the afternoon.
Afternoon, so we've switched over to coffee. You will hear tea clinking noises, because we thought those clinking noises were the representation of the word dithering.
Yeah, okay.
Right. So, who's going to start us off?
I think you can, because your points come first in the extremely long report, 100-page report that Carola didn't bother really to read. She just went, oh, good, good, got 2 points, that's it, I'll stop there.
You hear the sort of marital blame game. I chose the document, and it was a bit of a long document. Right, okay, so the first point was this attachment to the country, to the European Union, Europe. And I did want to actually ask you, Richard, if you had the choice between what do you feel most attached to, and I give you 4 options, to your town in which we're living, to the country, to the UK, or to the European Union, or to the Europe. If you had to put them in order, how would you feel your intensity of attachment?
Well, I can do that, but that's not what they do here. Okay, so I don't feel attached to my city, town, village, because we've moved quite a lot. I do feel attached. I sort of feel attached to my country, but the country as it is at the moment is a bit annoying. So I feel less attached to it because of the government that's been running it for the last 8 years and the attitudes that that government seems to have. That means that I do feel more and more attached to the European Union and to Europe. Europe seems a little bit distant because I think a British thing is that we're an island and we're on the edge of Europe. Right. And Europe is over there, we're here type of thing. So I think the UK always feels a bit detached from Europe. So in order, I suppose I would still feel mostly attached to my country. then I would feel attached to the European Union, then to my city, to my town, and lastly to Europe, if I had to put them in order.
That's interesting, because I think, you know, when we delve into the statistics that this barometer found, I do wonder if it has something also to do with the mobility that one feels one has, whether the mobility is contextualized within your country or whether it's a wider context.
Well, you can see that from the socioeconomic, to a certain extent, from the socioeconomic stuff.
Yeah, which we'll go into. I would suggest for me, if I had to ask myself the question, I would actually say the European Union comes for me first, because, of course, it's the sort of mechanism with which I was able to have mobility and work here in the UK. And then comes my country, and then comes Europe, and then comes my town, village, which doesn't count for much because I've moved every 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting.
Apart from the last 10, since we've been here,
we've moved.
Yeah,
within
we've
the
moved,
10 years, we've moved
in the same area
twice or three times. Right, and so this barometer, it suggested that the majority of people feel attached to the country. So 93% feel attached to their country, and then slightly less, 89% feel attached to the town or the village or the city. And then in third place, more than 65% felt attached to Europe. And actually the European Union comes just slightly behind that, so last with 56%. So yes, more than half of the citizens feel attached to the European Union, but they feel more attached to Europe and much more attached to their country or to their city or to their town.
Mm.
And I think that's quite interesting. And of course, you know, that's the overall report. But then when we look at what it means for different countries, you know, if you look at the Germany result, and if I just take myself as an example, so Germany has a high country attachment and low village attachment, whereas Spain has a high village/city attachment but low country attachment. France has, similar to Germany, a high country attachment. So the UK is fairly similar with both. The UK citizens don't feel as attached to the city or town or village or to the country as other citizens of other countries in the European Union.
But I think that is partly because of people moving around a lot to find work, you know, certainly in the 80s, the idea was you've got to get on your bike and go and find work, according to the government at the time. It wasn't anything to do with the government to try and provide work where people were. It was just up to people to get on their bike, go away from their mining communities or wherever they might have come into existence, and go and find some work wherever it was. So huge numbers of people went to live in the southeast, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that points towards the fact that I would have loved to see a statistic about mobility, you know, how many people still live in their own city, town, villages.
Mm-hmm.
And does that correlate to this? Because I have a feeling that it might do. So if we look at who in the European Union had the least attachment, so this sort of league table from the bottom up.
Is this still to their towns?
To the European Union.
Okay.
So we see the country that has the least attachment to the European Union, with 37%, is Greece,
mm-hmm.
and then the Czech Republic, then Cyprus, the Netherlands, and then the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if we go from the top, Germany is in fourth place, for instance.
Yeah, Luxembourg is at the top. Is it Latvia, second place?
Yeah, Poland.
Poland, third, Germany. Yeah. And it's kind of, well, I can understand with Greece, because Greece were having a really hard time of it, and they blamed the EU for that. And I'm not entirely sure of the ins and outs. I wouldn't entirely blame the EU. You know, a lot of people would blame the EU banking system for that. Yeah. A lot of people would blame the euro for that, which, you know, it's not necessarily the EU's fault about the euro and the banking system. Mm. Although it does show in this report that more people prefer the... In the countries that have the euro, it seems like more people prefer the euro. Think it's a good idea. The people who don't think the euro is a good idea are the people outside the eurozone, and the people who think it is a good idea are in the eurozone. So,
Right. So that was my first point.
The question was whether people thought that the member states of the European Union are close in terms of shared values. So the big three shared values in amongst Europeans are peace is 45%, 42% picked human rights, and 37% picked respect for human life. The other things that came up were democracy, which is down at 27%. But then that's because it's less important to everybody than peace, human rights, and respect for human life, which is fair enough. The next thing after democracy was individual freedom, and then equality. And then it came tolerance with 16%, solidarity, 16%, and then respect for other cultures, 9%, self-fulfillment, 9%, and religion, which was 5%.
And it does match the perception of European Union's achievements in first place. And it has actually increased over the last years, the free movement of people, goods and services within the EU.
And they actually said it increased by 1% since 6 months earlier.
Yeah, and of course the second one, which is peace, it does actually strike me that I probably would have put peace first. And it suggests that peace has decreased by 2% since 6 months ago.
As a choice.
And then in third place, a student exchange program such as Erasmus, in front of the economic power of the EU, in front of the political and diplomatic influence of the EU. The euro, which affects everyone, or not everyone, you know, we don't have the euro, but most of the European states, that doesn't come significantly ahead of a student exchange program such as Erasmus.
Yeah, well, I think that reflects... people's thoughts. Maybe that reflects people's thoughts about the euro.
Yeah,
you know, if you live in Greece, maybe you don't think the euro is such a brilliant thing.
And the common agricultural policy is perceived to be the least positive achievement.
Yep, the eighth down on the list, just ahead of respondents spontaneously saying that there are no positive achievements on the list.
Yeah, so the common 7%. Agricultural policy is mentioned by 10% of respondents. 7% of respondents spontaneously said that there are no positive achievements on the list, which is, again, you know, reassuringly low. So the majority do suggest that there are positive achievements by the European Union, but 7% is concerningly high enough to know that reaches a level which signifies that there might be representation of political parties that do not believe that the European Union is a positive aspect of Europe. But why the common agricultural policy? It's an interesting one, because that was almost one of the first initiatives of the European Union. Why is it so low down? Because we know that things have gone wrong in the past, like the Butter Hills. You know, I know in Germany we said Butterberge, you know.
Yeah, we said Butter Mountains as well. Yeah. And grain mountains, et cetera, et cetera. And
exactly.
They've adjusted those. But the thing is, they were, that information was, for us, it was all over the news when there was a grain mountain and a butter mountain, and it all seemed ridiculous. It was said to be ridiculous by, you know, my parents and all sorts of people.
Yeah.
And so they're quite happy to report on that then when that's news. But it's not news when they have got rid of the Butter Mountain.
Yeah.
They're managing it a little bit better because they've reorganized the CAP, the Common Agricultural Policy.
Okay.
So how successful it is now, I don't know, because I've not heard anything about it since I was, I don't know, since I was a teenager. My third point then was to do with immigrants and refugees. And we're looking at the social issues in this Eurobarometer. And it's looking at a number of social issues initially, but the one that I wanted to look at, immigration and refugees. And the immigration question was, immigrants contribute a lot to our country. So overall, in the EU, 48% of people thought that immigrants contributed a lot to their country. For the UK, that was much higher at 72%, which is a big surprise to me that it is that high.
Hmm.
Bearing in mind all of our decrying immigrants that happened in the build-up to the referendum on Brexit, whereas I'm not surprised that it's high in places like Luxembourg and Ireland. It's very low in Germany, actually. Low, it's at 52%. I mean, it's above half, but still pretty low.
Well, it's an interesting one, isn't it? We've had, you know, for the last 2 years, such negative views being expressed at a quite a high level against the contribution that immigrants make, that there's almost like a resistance now to that. You know, I don't know if that's that. Right, that's a wrap. So hopefully this was not too depressing. Hope you enjoyed the show. Please do leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast player, because it really helps others to find us. And feel free to follow us on our Twitter feed, on Dithering on the Edge, @DitheringE. Goodbye for now, and have a fabulous week.
Okay, bye.